This editorially independent podcast is supported by Astellas Pharma.
Well, welcome back to episode 2 of Geographic Atrophy, Options in Clinical Therapy. This is going to be two cases that we're going to be going over today. So let me introduce and welcome back Dr. Lisa Faye.
Hello.
And Dr. Christopher Riemann from Cincinnati Eye.
Hello, hello.
And we'll jump right into it.
So this is an interesting case that was living in my optometrist's clinic for a long time. So I practice medicine slightly differently than some folks. I have a full-time optometrist that works as a physician extender in my clinic. So most dry macular degeneration patients in my clinic are living in Mary Beth Yockey's clinic. So this is a patient that came in mid-70s in September of 2016 with some fundus autofluorescence findings of geographic atrophy in the right eye and terrible discoform scarring in the left eye. OCT findings showed not only geographic atrophy, but exudative changes, and a fluorescein angiogram showed exudative changes as well in the right eye and discoform changes from wet macular degeneration in the left eye. And now 7 years later, we can see this past April that the geographic atrophy has expanded substantially in the right eye. And the vision was hovering around 20/70 in the right eye. The vision in the left eye was hand motion. The wet macular degeneration is well controlled on every month to every 2 month treat and extend aflibercept injections, and 10 aflibercept injections in the left eye did not impede the progression to discoform scarring. So here's somebody with 20/70 controlled wet macular degeneration in her only seeing eye with discoform blinding wet macular degeneration in the other eye. Went round and round in a circle with this patient for a while, talking about different options. And we're seeing her every month alternating an anti-geographic atrophy therapy with aflibercept. That's what we ended up doing. I'm very interested in the panel's thoughts and comments on this patient.
Thanks for the great case, Chris. This is really definitely one of the difficult patients to treat with the complement inhibition for geographic atrophy, a patient with concurrent wet macular degeneration. You've outlined nicely there with 8 week intervals. You can, you know, stagger them so you don't have both treatments at the same time. But let's say if we do, you know, now we have a new patient with the active neovascular exudative and the GA, and let's say you're still at a month. How do you approach that patient in terms of treating them for both diseases?
These are patients where I try to go with the most potent anti-VEGF that I can for the wet macular degeneration to hopefully get them to a point where I can extend them pretty quickly. I don't even think about geographic atrophy therapy in these eyes until I've got the exudative disease under control, until I've got it under control and at least out to every 6 weeks. Yes, you can give these geographic atrophy drugs at the same time, you know, at the same visit, two different injections. I generally do a big paracentesis and then do both injections right on top of one another. You can do that, but that's sometimes a lot for the patient to go through. And it's very nice to be able to alternate the injections on different visits without having to have them come in every 2 weeks. So if I can do it like we did on this patient, where I can alternate and it's still monthly visits, that's kind of ideal. Obviously more ideal if I can go every 2 months and have them be treat and extend for the exudative disease at 4 month intervals. That's even better. But if I can't tighten it up, if I have to give exudative treatment every month, boy, that's a bit of a tough sell to give them monthly anti-complement therapy. I've done it.
That definitely tough one. Thanks for the good insight. How about you, Lisa? That's the same scenario. You know, now you have a monthly patient with, you know, new conversion to neovascular, but you were treating them for monthly with geographic atrophy complement inhibition.
Well, I kind of have a little bit, if I can go a little reverse that. I had a gentleman who was getting, who has wet AMD, and he's well controlled and he's losing vision. He's like, Dr. Faya, if my wet AMD is doing so well, why am I still losing vision? And I always explain to him, look, we're trying to slow things down, but you also have a dry macular component. And actually it was interesting because he's like, well, what can I do about that? And this was before I said, well, right now I have nothing. And that was, you know, last February. And then in March, I said, look, I have something for you. And he comes from about an hour and a half away. I see him every 4 to 6 weeks for his anti-VEGF therapy. And he is fine with that. He likes the control. He likes to talk with the people in the lobby or whatever. And he's okay with that. But he knows he could not split them up. So we do both injections at the same time. And he has not had any issues. And interestingly, he tells me he thinks his vision's better. Which, God bless placebo effect, but you know, he has been on a patient that I did start in March, had to stop a little bit because of some payment issues, and they had, you know, some of the safety stuff, they had the concerns, and then I restarted him, and he was very happy when we restarted him, and he has no problems. I do, for me personally, I do the complement inhibitor first, do a quick little tap, put then the anti-VEGF in, wash the eye out, and everything goes very, very well. So, and he has concomitant GA, excuse me, his concomitant glaucoma as well, which is very, very well controlled. So he has other factors that are controlled, but he was asking me, he's like, this makes no sense, Dr. Freya. And so I definitely think that we, now that we have treatments for GA, that all those patients that we kind of ignored it with, that I think that'll be something that we also introduce now that we have. Again, with the wet, once the wet is controlled, you know, like Chris said, once the wet's controlled, that's the next thing we need to attack. That's in my opinion.
I approach it very similar. Yeah, if they're active, and usually patients travel sometimes two, 3 hours one way. So usually just do them the same day, tap them if you need to. Then it just makes it easier for them. If, like Chris mentioned, I'll do that as well. If you have one where they're really, the neovascular component is the massive thing that you're really dealing with, I'll pause the geographic atrophy treatment and really get a control of that. And then before I bring it back, any geographic atrophy treatment back on, I want to see that growing progression again and really be here from the patient. So just not assume, not a maintenance phase for GA like we do for wet, at least personally anyway, so far. Yeah, those are great points. And now, how do you speak to the patient in terms of that when that comes up? Because that's a tricky part too, right? Like you both mentioned aspects of that, but let's say to the families in the room now too, and they want to know any pearls to other retina specialists when they're faced with this issue of, you know, concurrent two active diseases that are very, very similar.
Yeah, I tell them all the time, you have diabetes and high blood pressure. What do? You take medications for your diabetes, you take medications for your blood pressure, right? You can't, there's not one medicine that's going to treat both. And that's the same way here, just in the eyeball. You know, you have dry macular, and you know, someone like, well, you didn't say anything before. I said, well, it's in your chart. But I really didn't approach it too much because either I wasn't seeing a big change, or unfortunately, your major factor was more the wet macular. And now that we have that controlled, and now that we have treatment, besides telling everyone use your eye vitamins and get plenty of blueberries and antioxidants, you know, I have something more for you. But the overwhelming factor at first was your wet AMD. But we have this all the time in the body where you have multiple diseases, you do different medications for it. And this just seems a little bit different because it's just one organ that has two different diseases. But this is what happens in the human body in general. And a lot of people are like, oh yeah, I didn't even think of it that way. And they seem to be okay with that. Some of them are just like, well, why didn't you say anything before? And I said, well, I was watching it the whole time. That's why I always get these extra pictures. That's why I try to get autofluorescence. I think every time is a little much for them, but at least every other time to document any signs, even minimal as it may be, of dry AMD, so I know what we're up against. And again, just to tell people, it's great we have the wet macular under control, but this is what's going on. So just be aware, if you're trying to renew your license, this may be an issue, or maybe we should send you to low vision. Because again, I just try to give them the full picture.
Thanks so much for the discussion, and thanks for the great case, Chris. We'll go for a quick break, and please stick with us. As when we return, I'll present a case as well.
This editorially independent podcast is supported by Astellas Pharma.
Well, welcome back, and thank you for sticking with us. We next now have a case by Dr. Almeida.
This is the first of two cases. So this is a patient that came in with known geographic atrophy, looking in that left eye there. So they initially came in, and really there were, we discussed about what the goals of treatment were. And this is a patient that was aware of their vision loss, was bothered by that vision loss, was knew that vision loss was going to improve, but really wanted to keep it where it was. So a good understanding of kind of foveal involvement, but not complete foveal involvement, even though you can see that that's a fairly large area there. So she received 3 monthly doses of Izervay that were administered. And basically we can see there, this really just corroborates a lot of what we tell patients that are going to happen. We don't see any change. This is what we want. And this, I use this case a lot as an example of the different type of patients that we're used to seeing and who we see when we have complement inhibition for GA. These patients just, they want to stay where they are. They're very, very happy to come in and get their shot and report no changes. Very, very different to our neovascular patients that are always, you know, get more frustrated when there's no change and they're trying to get back to their vision loss. So this is a patient that had multiple years of close monitoring for this left eye there. And along the way, you can see small changes, but you know the overall atrophic areas look the same. There's still good foveal preservation here. So when there was approval and a new treatment available, they were treated with 3 monthly doses. I usually almost always tell patients to start with a monthly regimen for 2 reasons. One, the most patients can understand the idea of an induction-based therapy at the beginning of a treatment platform. And it's, number 2 is that, you know, really the evidence we have, whether it's for Izervay or Syfovre, really comes from every month for the first year for both. So I usually start with that. And we can see here that after the 3 doses, the far right one there, and, you know, good safety, no issues with this patient, and really reiterating that point that these patients are happy to stay where they are. And once they understand that, it's a lot smoother. It took me a little bit to get that understanding going, because that no change is different from our other patients.
Well, wonderful. With these monthly follow-ups, was it just the autofluorescence that you were concerned with? Was it also like what the patients were seeing, or even the family input about what the patient was experiencing?
I found, at least to date, that it really is dominated by the patient's description of their, you know, vision issues, problems, or loss. So the patient's ability to say, hey, you know, I'm noticing this vision loss, and then be able to look over time, say there is expansion or enlargement of these areas, and then presenting the therapy. So that's what I'm really needing to hear, and then see that at least on 2 time points, so hopefully more of that progression.
There's a nuanced point to David's cases, where he followed them very frequently for a period of time. And, you know, we don't medically need to follow geographic atrophy monthly, but on the psychosocial side, to build rapport with patients, to have them sit in our waiting rooms and see and understand, hey, this is not a racket. This is actually real medicine. And there are a lot of people in the same boat as I am. The waiting room sometimes act as a support group, because they talk and they help each other sometimes. Sometimes they don't necessarily help, but and to develop that rapport, that's important. And it's not like you have to sign them up right away. You can say, you know, we can sit on this. Let's see you next month. Or, you know, I generally, I'll, at this point, if the patient's not sure what they want, I'll say, look, I want you to follow with my optometrist, and here's some paperwork. I want you to read about the 2 different options, and then when you see Dr. Yaki in, you know, 2 months or 3 months, I want you to think about it and share this literature with your family. And talk about it, and you deserve this nuanced conversation. And this is a journey, right? And Dr. Yaki and I work together as a team. So this is something that Marybeth and I have been doing for 17 years now. Where she's just been a physician extender. It's the way I fill 2 full days of operating room every week. So I do only the things that only I can do. I feel very strongly that injections need to stay in the physician's office. As we look at the demographics of the baby boomer generation, if we look at the number of patients that are going to require our services, you know, we have new diseases that we have treatments for that we didn't have treatments for, and we are not training more retina doctors.
I agree that we're going to have to evolve. And I think it may be a little bit harder in private practices because of the money numbers and stuff like that. And maybe easier in academics, but this is, we are going to need to focus on these things and explain these things to our patients. And I would love to have someone like that who just basically, when they really need my attention and care. And right now we have a very great comprehensive ophthalmology community who's very good with that. I love the term, Chris, that you use, like the physician extension. That's I really love that term. That's quite wonderful. And that basically we can provide the best patient care, and it doesn't have to be just one person. Because otherwise, even if you could see it all, you're going to get fatigued and you're not going to be able to explain everything. And I just don't think that does the patient justice. So I really think we all need to start thinking about a more hybrid, more comprehensive model.
As we look to close out the program, it's really been wonderful to chat with Lisa and Chris about really the aspects of geographic atrophy as we see more and more in our clinic. So as we expect to see more and more in our clinic, maybe we are going to go out to Lisa and Chris for what's the one thing you see happening in the next 12 to 18 months, Lisa?
So for me, obviously, I think we're going to get busier because I think more as we learn more, maybe through AI or through our own experiences, we will feel more comfortable with each and every set of subset of patients and treating them. And I think also we will need to learn how are we going to deal with this volume and may need to reach out to other resources and using either the field of comprehensive or ophthalmologists, optometrists in the fields to help us to better educate these patients as well.
So Lisa says volume, Chris?
I think that we're going to be developing integrated clinical care systems that are going to utilize retinal specialists that are going to be driving the bus. That are going to use physician extenders, optometrists, perhaps nurse practitioners, and as well as technology. I think home OCT is right around the corner and will really allow us to drive precision medicine in many aspects of wet macular degeneration. And in terms of the dry macular degeneration, I think we're going to be getting more and more data. We're going to be using artificial intelligence, AI, to understand what that data tells us, who the responders, who the non-responders are. We'll be able to identify them, and we're going to go down the road of precision medicine.
Thanks, Chris. Well, I want to say thank you to all the listeners who joined us for this kind of two episodes of exciting discussion on geographic atrophy. And go back and check out the feeds. Thanks very much, everyone, and have a great day.